May the Lord help us to commence by singing hymn number 527. What a divine, harmonious sound the gospel trumpet gives. No music can with it compare. The soul that knows it lives. Hymn 527.
is God, to bless the reading of his words to the profit of our souls this evening, let us turn to the second epistle of Paul to the Corinthians, and we'll read chapters 4 and 5. The second epistle of Paul to the Corinthians, and reading chapters 4 and 5. Therefore, seeing we have this ministry, as we have received mercy, we faint not, but have renounced the hidden things of dishonesty, not walking in craftiness, nor handling the word of God deceitfully, but by manifestation of the truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. But if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. For we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants, for Jesus' sake. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, hath shined in our hearts, to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God, and not of us. We are troubled on every side, yet not distressed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Cast down, but not destroyed. Always bearing about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our body. For we which live are always delivered unto death for Jesus' sake, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our mortal flesh. So then, death worketh in us, but life in you. We, having the same spirit of faith, according as it is written, I believed, and therefore have I spoken. We also believe, and therefore speak, knowing that he which raised up the Lord Jesus shall raise up us also by Jesus, and shall present us with you. For all things are for your sakes, that the abundant grace might through the thanksgiving of many redound to the glory of God, for which cause we faint not. But though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. While we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. For we know that if our earthly house of this tabernacle were dissolved, we have a building of God, an house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. For in this we groan, earnestly desiring to be clothed upon with our house which is from heaven. If so be that being clothed we shall not be found naked. For we that are in this tabernacle do groan, being burdened, not for that we would be unclothed, but clothed upon, that mortality might be swallowed up of life. Now, he that hath wrought us for the selfsame thing is God, who also hath given unto us the earnest of the Spirit. Therefore, we are always confident, knowing that whilst we are at home in the body, we are absent from the Lord. For we walk by faith, not by sight. We are confident, I say, and willing rather to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord. Wherefore, we labour, that whether present or absent, we may be accepted of him. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that every one may receive the things done in his body, according to that he hath done, whether it be good or bad. Knowing therefore the terror of the Lord, we persuade men. But we are made manifest unto God, and I trust also are made manifest in your consciences. For we commend not ourselves again unto you, but give you occasion to glory on our behalf, that ye may have somewhat to answer them which glory in appearance and not in heart. For whether we be beside ourselves, it is to God, or whether we be sober, it is for your cause. For the love of Christ constraineth us, because we thus judge that if one died for all, then were all dead, and that he died for all, that they which live should not henceforth live unto themselves, but unto him which died for them and rose again. For wherefore, henceforth, know we no man after the flesh. Yea, though we have known Christ after the flesh, yet now henceforth know we him no more. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. And all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ, and hath given to us the ministry of reconciliation, to wit, that God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ. As though God did beseech you by us, we pray you in Christ's stead, be reconciled to God. For he hath made him to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. May God bless his holy word to our eternal souls. Let us now come to him in prayer. Let us all pray. Ever blessed, eternal, ever gracious and most merciful Lord God, as we come together in the evening of thy day, we pray, gracious God, it may be thy good pleasure to come down and evidence thyself here in our midst by the gracious effect it may have in our hearts. Lord, we pray for thy blessing. We pray that it would come and look upon us. Lord, we have to come and confess that we are unworthy, utterly unworthy of any notice. But Lord, we come pleading that thou would remember us for good, that thou wilt remember each one of us with that favour thou bearest unto thy people. And come, Lord, tonight and visit our souls with thy salvation. Lord, leave not our souls destitute. O Lord, help us to realise the vital importance of the knowledge of Christ to our souls. O Lord, how infinitely valuable that is. Lord, help us to realise in some measure the value of our souls and the great value of the knowledge of our Saviour as that one who has died upon Calvary's cross to atone for our sins. We pray, Lord, tonight, the things of God may not remain theoretical. We pray the things of God tonight may be applied to our souls. Lord, with that blessed application of thy Spirit, so that we truly have the evidence that the Almighty God has looked down upon us individually and has visited our souls. Lord, what great requests these are. But Lord, we know to a great God. And we know we come to a God that said, I will be inquired of by the house of Israel to do these things for them. And so, Lord, tonight, we've gathered here a little company of unworthy sinners, a company that deserve no notice from Almighty God. But Lord, we come tonight pleading for thy favour, pleading for thy mercy, pleading that tonight we may know what it is to have thy love shed abroad in our hearts. And Lord, let our hearts not be cold. Lord, let them not remain cold. Let them not be hard. But Lord, may thy Holy Spirit come and soften our hard hearts and warm our hearts, Lord, to thee, so that we therefore have the wonderful and blessed evidence thou hast taken notice of us, that's graciously condescended to come and to speak to our very souls. O Lord, do not be silent to us. Do not turn away thy face, nor do look upon us. Lord, we are so dependent upon thy grace. We are so dependent upon thy mercy. O Lord, hear us then. May we indeed join together collectively in these prayers. And Lord, look down upon us then, every one of us tonight, so that we may know the Lord is here, the Lord has met with us, the Lord has heard our prayers, the Lord has not dealt with us as our sins deserve, but the Lord has graciously visited our souls. Oh Lord, how we need visits from our God. We pray, Lord, not to be left in an unconcerned condition, a wayward position. Lord, come, touch our hearts. Oh Lord, may we be moved by the love of Christ. Oh, we pray tonight, Lord, thou wilt be very gracious to us. And Lord, look down upon us and come to us, each one. Lord, we each have our own lives. We each have, Lord, an individual life. But Lord, we know we have a life which is known to thee in every detail. Lord, we realise nothing is hidden from the eye of Almighty God. And so, Lord, as that eye penetrates into the deepest recesses of our heart, oh, we pray, Lord, tonight, there may be some found in our heart, some good desire for the Lord God of Israel. And so, Lord, we plead for thy goodness and mercy to be made known to each one of us tonight. Oh, Lord, we pray earnestly for these favours. Lord, many times we've met together, many times we've worship. Many times we pretended to worship, but Lord, may it be a time, a night of favour, a night of blessing, a time when thou wilt reveal thyself unto us as thou dost not unto the world. Oh Lord, then we come tonight pleading that thou wilt deal with us in love and mercy. Lord, don't turn us away. Oh Lord, let us not be cast out. Oh Lord, may we come before thee, bowing down, pleading for thy blessing, pleading for thy mercy, pleading thou wilt remember us with that favour thou bearest unto thy people, and therefore visit our souls with thy salvation. O Lord, we come tonight thankful for the word of God. Lord, part of that wonderful letter the apostle wrote to the Corinthians so many years ago. And Lord, we're thankful for faithful words. We're thankful, Lord, for the honesty with which thy saints were able to write the word under thy blessed influence. And so, Lord, as we read such words, may we recognise that they are true. And Lord, may we have a desire in our lives today to be found blessed with that humble confidence as Paul was. The evidence that he knew his God. We pray, Lord, that we may know our God. That we may not come as the Athenians were found to be worshipping the unknown God. Lord, we pray for the wonderful evidence that we do know our God. And we do come and bow down and we do desire that his name may be lifted up and his name may be honoured and glorified. Oh Lord, we desire this more and more. Lord, may we realise our lives are for the honour and glory of thy great name. Lord, help us to understand and to comprehend. We are not our own. We are bought with a price. What a price, Lord, that was. The price of thy sin-atoning death. The price of thy shed blood for such unworthy sinners. Gracious God, we pray tonight, come, let us not go away empty. Let us go away, Lord, perhaps with a crumb from the master's table, but Lord, may it be something. Lord, we pray for thy grace, that it may come to us tonight. Lord, how unworthy we are to receive any favour, but we know thou dost dispose thy grace. And we thank for it if we have received it. And we pray everyone may receive it even tonight. And so, Lord, we come thankful for the word of God, the truths that we've been able to read together. We pray, Lord, for everyone in the lives that they live. Lord, sometimes life is very difficult, Lord. Opposition is very great. Lord, the devil is going about as a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. But Lord, help us to hear the gracious exhortation that we, by thy grace, may be able to steadfastly resist him. Oh Lord, we know the devil has always been a liar. And Lord, we know he hasn't changed his position. And we know, Lord, he endeavours to deceive as he did in the Garden of Eden. Lord, let us not be deceived. Let us not listen to all his lies. Lord, help us to listen to the great and glorious truths of the gospel. And therefore, Lord, come tonight and may we know the power of God. Lord, that power which delivers us out of the clutches of the evil one. Lord, we pray that in our lives grace may reign. Oh, Lord, bless us each. And those who are not able to be here tonight, those who are at home with their children, Lord, we pray for thy rich blessing to be upon them. We're so thankful, Lord, that we know we have a God who is in every place, beholding the evil and the good. Oh, Lord, grant thy rich blessing upon such. And should there be those, Lord, who could be here but don't want to come, haven't a desire to come, we pray, Lord, that thy Holy Spirit may go into their hearts. Oh, Lord, and touch their hearts and move their hearts And Lord, help them to realize their guilt and their sinful disobedience. And Lord, may they be moved by thy love to come and gather here with thy people. Lord, whenever opportunity presents itself, Lord, deliver us from making excuses. Lord, may we have such a burden for our souls that there is that longing to always come and gather together whenever opportunity presents itself. We pray that these people may be lively in the things of God. Let us not become lukewarm. Let us not become hard-hearted. Take away any rebellion which there may be. And Lord, thou knowest how these things sometimes arise. And Lord, we can't seem to move them, but Lord, thou canst. We know that everything is possible with our God. We come again, Lord, praying for the young people as they go to school, as they study, as they perhaps go to college or university, as they perhaps look for jobs. Lord, in this difficult world, we pray thou wilt stand by them. Lord, watch over them. Preserve them. Keep them, Lord, near to thyself. Hedge up their way. Oh, Lord, we're thankful we have a God who can hedge up their way, even if they don't want it. Lord, may it be wonderfully done so that they're able to say, in days to come, the Lord was mindful of me. So, Lord, bless each one. And now, Lord, we come again praying for our country. We must pray, Lord, for our country. Help us to pray for our country. May we have a burden for our country, Lord. We're in desperate need of thy mercy, of thy favour. And Lord, we form a part of our nation. And Lord, we look back over the years and realise how guilty we've been in not praying as we should have done. And Lord, we see the devil's made hay. He's crept in while we've been asleep. Oh Lord, do arise, we pray. May we know deliverance, a time of spiritual blessing. Lord, do great things. It could be thy holy will. We come and pray for the Queen and the royal family. Lord, bless her. Lord, may she be able to speak well of the things of God. And Lord, not be afraid of what men and women think. Lord, we know the word of God tells us the fear of man brings a snare. Lord, may she not heed the fear of the men. And Lord, may we not fear what men may think. Lord, may we all be concerned of what God thinks. And so, gracious Lord, come now, look upon us. Come and make one with us. Above all things, bless our souls. May thy great name be lifted up and honoured and glorified. We come asking everything with the forgiveness of all our sins, for Jesus' sake. Amen.
Hymn number 913. 'Tis the gospel's joyful tidings, full salvation sweetly sounds, grace to heal thy foul backsliding sinner flows from Jesus' wounds. Hymn 913.
Almighty God, to bless us together this evening as we meditate in his word. Let us turn to the second epistle of Paul to the Corinthians and the fifth chapter, and we'll read the first clause in verse 14. The second epistle of Paul to the Corinthians, chapter 5, and the first clause in verse 14. For the love of Christ constraineth us. Such a word is foundational to the true Christian religion. Without the love of Christ, there is no evidence of life in the soul. There is no blessing that we can rest upon if we do not find Christ within it. And this important word here constraineth us. It's the love of Christ which constrains us, and that can be explained like this. It controls and it governs. Well, tonight, as we look into our own hearts, and of course that's the important issue, as we all stand before God as individuals, and we will stand before God, let us realize that every one of us will stand before God on that great day of judgment. There won't be any excuses. There won't be any way of escape. It's a very important and a very solemn consideration. And what a sobering thought it is if we should come to that time and not know the love of Christ toward us and our love toward the Saviour. Because without that, we shall be condemned eternally. Terrible thought, terrible consideration. And yet, on the other hand, if we know Christ's love, it'll be well with our souls. The Apostle John, he said, not that we loved God, but that he loved us. Very clear, isn't it? Very simple. How important that you and I know the love of God to our souls. So you and I can think we know this and we know that, and we might be able to write a wonderful essay upon some doctrines in the Word of God, but my friends, the vital thing is, without any doubt, the love of Christ. Because it does have, and it must have, and it will have an effect upon us. What a mercy if it does truly control our life, govern our life, how we think, what we say, and what we do, moved by the blessed Spirit of God. We may say, well, what actually is this love of Christ? Well, it's worth just pondering, isn't it? To realize what it means. It means that Christ so wonderfully, mysteriously set his love upon us in eternity past. Before we were born, before we'd done any good or any evil, in eternity past, Almighty God set his love upon us. And it was the love of God the Father And it was the love of God the Son. And it was the love of God the Holy Spirit. They all combined in the glorious love to our souls. Now, as the Holy Spirit may direct us and instruct us in such a truth, to think that that great God, the one who created all things, the one who was eternal, the one who is eternal, the one who changes not, truths utterly outside of our natural comprehension. And yet nonetheless, this great, wonderful God loved us so much. And he watched over us from the moment we were born. He watched over us as we wandered about. He watched over us perhaps as we went astray, wandered away, determined to have our fill of the things of this world. Until that day came, because of his love, the hymn writer sums it up very aptly, not to propose, but call by grace. God's call, all of God's people, hear his call. It may be in the midst of blackness and darkness. It may be in the midst of frivolity. It may be in the midst of some sinful situation. My friends, the Church of God, loved by their God, hear the call of God. And that call of God is a quickening call. It's a call that makes us spiritually alive. And it's only because of God's love toward us. Otherwise, we would never receive that call. We would never hear it. But wonderful it is if you and I have heard that call and we're able to concur with the apostle as he wrote to the Ephesians, "And you hath he quickened," or made alive, "who were dead in trespasses and in sins, whereas in time past you walked according to the course of this world." Is that true? It will be true. All of us walked according to the course of this world. We followed our own inclinations. We thought perhaps we wanted to do this and wanted to enjoy that. Until the Lord called us because of his love toward us. Wonderful, isn't it? The love of Christ. There's no greater blessing for us to know in our own hearts the love of Christ toward us as individuals. Again, the hymn writer has it very aptly when he says in hymn 766 in the last verse, "On such love my soul still ponder, love so great, so rich, so free. Say, whilst lost in holy wonder, why, O God, such love to me?" We'll stand amazed when the Holy Spirit convinces us of our lost condition, that it is the work of the Blessed Spirit to convince us of our sin, to call us to cry for mercy, to cry for forgiveness. You see, in such a condition as that, we understand the reality of that simple prayer recorded in that parable of the Pharisee and the publican, when the publican, he could not so much lift up his eyes, he smote upon his breast, but he prayed a good prayer. God, be merciful to me, a sinner. Now, have you prayed that prayer? I hope you have. Because if you're a born-again sinner, if you're to be a born-again sinner, you will pray that prayer. And it is not a prayer that becomes old-fashioned or gets out of date. God, be merciful to me, a sinner. And why are we brought to this position? The love of Christ. That's what it is. The love of Christ. Otherwise you and I would be left to ourselves. We would never pray that prayer. We would never think we were bad enough to pray that prayer. We'd just be like the old Pharisee. He was happy with his religion. There are many chapelgoers today who are happy with their religion. They think by ticking the boxes they're going to get to heaven. No, my friends. You and I must know the love of Christ. And the love of Christ will have an effect. It must have an effect. It will change our lifestyle. It will change the way we think. It'll change what we say. It'll change our walk. And why? Because the Holy Spirit will show to us, although we've been pleasing ourselves, the time has now come when the Holy Spirit shows us we are now not our own. We're not able to please ourselves. We're not able to dictate what we will do, when we will do it, how we will do it. We fall under the blessed influence of the Holy Spirit because we are bought with a price. We've been purchased, and we've been purchased because of the love of Christ toward us. And the price that was paid to redeem our souls was the greatest price possible. It involved the death of God Himself, the Lord Jesus Christ. Ponder that, to think that God, who created all things, so high, so mighty, and yet looked down upon us individually and brought to our spiritual mind the realization of where we were going, what we were doing, what we were saying, and directed us to the blessed Savior as the only way of salvation. Now this is the work of the Spirit, and it's glorious, and it's very wonderful to think that God should have looked upon us again in the eternity past and to realize that because of that we are eternally safe. The apostle, when he wrote to the epistle to the Romans, and as we come to the end of that 8th chapter, we read these words: who shall separate us from the love of Christ? This is the love of God. It cannot separate. We cannot be separated. We are safe in the arms of Jesus. That doesn't mean we shall be licentious in our lives. No, we shall not be. We shall desire to follow him and to do his will, to do his bidding. And so the apostle says, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? And he gives a list: asking, shall, tribulation, No. Distress? No. Persecution? No. Famine? No. Nakedness? Peril? Sword? No. But yet he goes on to say, as it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are accounted a sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. The love of Christ. And therefore he goes on, these well-known words, the apostle was persuaded. Bless God when we by the Spirit of God are also persuaded. And it's the blessed work of the Spirit. We are persuaded. Don't let the devil cast doubt. That's his great aim, you see, to cast doubt. That's what he did to Adam and Eve. Go back to Eden. See there. What did he say to Eve? Hath God said? Casted a question mark as to whether it was true. And he does the same today. Give him no room. Tell him, no, I'm persuaded. That neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from what? The love of God, which is in Christ Jesus, our Lord. Isn't that a very clear definition? A very clear statement. What a mercy it is then to have the blessed confirmation in our own souls. The love of Christ constrains us, controls us, directs us. Well, you must answer before God, will that so in your life or not? Or whether you're avoiding it. Whether you're trying to somehow find some escape route. My friends, when the love of Christ comes into our heart, we don't want to escape. It's a blessed moving influence. It's a moving influence. Because what has happened? We've been drawn to our Saviour. We've been drawn to him. We couldn't go there ourselves. But the Lord draws his people. What a mercy if you and I know that. Drawn to the Saviour. Drawn to experience his love toward us. So great to redeem our souls. Our soul is the most valuable thing that we possess by a long, long, long way. There's nothing more valuable that you and I have than our soul. And yet, you see, today it would seem that most people count their souls of no value. They put everything else first. They put the things of time first. The things of the flesh first. Rather than putting the things of God first. Now, what a mercy when we are moved by the love of Christ to put the things of God first. And you see, it is a glorious evidence that we are born of his Spirit because of the grace given to us to put the things of God first. Not last, first. And it'll be like this. You will want to put the things of God first. Because you'll have some understanding, small as it may be, of his amazing love to such a wretch as we are. Wonderful, is it not, to realize that there is such a God who looks down from the height of heaven and doesn't pass us by as we so richly deserve. Now then, the apostle writing to the Ephesians in the third chapter, he tells us this in the 16th verse, that he would grant you according to the riches of his glory. And that's impossible to actually really work out in truth. It's so great to be strengthened in might in his, by his spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith. That means not in just in our heads, it's in our heart, our very being, in our soul, as we spoke to the children at Sunday school, in our soul, to be strengthened in might by his spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye be rooted and grounded in love. In love. May be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and length and depth and height, and to know the love of Christ which passeth knowledge. Oh, it's so superior to anything this world can offer. Anything this world can offer will fade away. It will perish. It will be burnt up. That ye might be filled with all the fullness of God. And he concludes by saying, now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us, unto him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. Amen. Well, it's a great blessing, isn't it? If the Holy Spirit has touched our hearts, and we therefore know that what the apostle speaks here is true. It is true, but you and I need to know it for ourselves. We must not just go home tonight and think, well, what did the preacher speak about today? Something about love. My friends, may we urgently besiege the throne of grace, that he will show us personally that his love is that which is controlling us, governing our life. You know whether that's true or not today, don't you? You know whether Christ's love is constraining you, governing you, or not? Or whether your flesh, which means the devil, is in control. Ponder the fact that this gracious, glorious Saviour gave his life to redeem your soul. Cost was so great, and yet, are you turning your back upon such a Saviour? Very solemn, isn't it? But very blessed if you can say, by the grace of God, made willing in the day of his power. Now, bless God, he does come and he applies his word with power to our soul. And the great favour is this, and thank God for it, when that comes, and pray it may, we can't resist it. We don't want to. We rejoice in it. We long for more of it. You may have to think, well, I only know a very little. Well, don't forget what the Word of God tells us. A little that a righteous man hath is better than the treasures of many wicked. Well, friends, if you know a little of this love, it'll get you to heaven. If you know nothing, you will not get to heaven. And I'll tell you this, you won't want to go to heaven. Those who don't love Christ, and those who don't know Christ's love to them, would never be happy in heaven. You wouldn't want to be there. You'd be like a fish out of water. You'd be a stranger. Those who get to heaven are those who, by the blessed Spirit, are able to confirm that a word like this is true in their experience. For the love of Christ constraineth us. What a mercy then to have that evidence. It's a very positive evidence. It is perhaps the most positive evidence, because it softens hard hearts. It breaks down barriers. And it produces union with Christ because of his love. You'll be a different person. You'll be a very different person. You'll bless God that he should have ever shown you the wonder of his love toward you. It will be wonderful. It will be indeed very, very amazing. And the Saviour spoke very clearly some very solemn words in the 10th chapter of Matthew. In the 37th verse, he tells us, "He that loveth father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. And he that loveth son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. And he that taketh not his cross and followeth after me is not worthy of me." And then he says, "He that findeth his life shall lose it. And he that loseth his life for my sake shall find it." The word of God is very solemn, isn't it? Very straight. And you know, you and I can read these words and they just pass over our heads. But bless God if the Holy Spirit applies his word. So it enters in. And the word of God describes it as an arrow penetrating into our very heart. What a mercy it is when the Holy Spirit does that. And it has this gracious effect upon us. You see, it speaks here so clearly of what the love of Christ will do. It means it is that which influences us, changes our thoughts, changes our way. It enables us to do that which perhaps we never thought we would be able to do. To take up his cross and follow him. It's a very wonderful evidence of this love being set forth by us, because our hearts have been warmed. We've been moved by this blessed love. The love of Christ constraineth us. Well, has that happened in our lives? If you have to say, "Well, I'm not sure if it has," do you pray that it might have? Do you pray, "Oh Lord, do show me thyself, my glorious Saviour. Show me what it cost my salvation. Let me not trivialise the things of God. Let me not put the great things of God, as it were, in the background. But may they be in the forefront of my eyes, so that I truly desire to do that which is right and that which is God-honouring." You know, we read together in this chapter as it began, and the wonderful words that the apostle was able to say from his heart, because he knew the love of Christ himself. And Paul, of course, wasn't a very good man, was he? He did everything against Christ. He hated the very name of the Saviour and did everything to turn everybody away from him until that day on the Damascus Road, when the Lord came and spoke to him, "Why persecutest thou me? Well, you may not be on the Damascus Road, but you may have been persecuting Christ. And you know whether you've had enmity against the Saviour. And by that I mean this, an unwillingness to submit yourself under the mighty hand of God. A willingness to submit yourself under the mighty hand of God. It's a very solemn thought, isn't it? That you and I, as mere mortals, sinful mortals, unworthy of any notice, should resist the great Saviour. Turn our back. And I'm saying in our heart, we will not have this man to reign over us. No. Well, bless God, his grace has come and changed our minds, changed our direction. And by that, what's occurred? The Holy Spirit has blessed us with that spirit of repentance, to be truly sorry for that which we've done, truly sorry for that which we've not done, and truly sorry that we've been so bad, so evil, so wrong. And to thank God for his mercy. Mercy is welcome news indeed to those who guilty stand. You'll rejoice then in God's mercy. Now, the apostle was blessed with this humble confidence, and he's able to tell us, for we know. A number of times the apostle's able to say, for we know. The church of God, by his grace, are able to say. You see, religion, real religion, is positive. And we say, we can say yes, for we know. Not because of what we've done, but because of his love, because of his grace, because of his mercy. For we know, says the apostle, that if our earthly house of this tabernacle were dissolved, we have a building of God, an house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. This is the wonderful prospect for the church of God, the wonderful prospect to those who know the love of God, the love of Christ constraining us. And so the apostle says, for in this we groan. Do you groan? Do you groan because of sin which keeps on creeping in? Do you groan? Well, that's what the apostle says. You've got a companion then in the apostle Paul. For in this we groan, earnestly desiring to be clothed upon with our house which is from heaven, if so be that being clothed we shall not be found naked. So although he says he groaned, yet he had an earnest desire after spiritual blessings. And these two are linked together. You can't say, well, you groan without a desire for heavenly realities. That's just a false groaning. That's just a hypocritical groaning. That's just something you perhaps have dreamt up to impress people. My friends, there is this gracious and wonderful looking forward. You should be groaned because of the sins which do so easily beset us. And we realize that by God's grace, one day we shall be freed from this body of sin and death, which does cause us sometimes to cry out, can ever God dwell here in such a heart as mine? Well, the blessing is the love of Christ constrains us to look beyond the poor old things of time. The devil will keep you earthbound. The devil will want to keep you involved in the things of the flesh. He'll want you to try and make these more important than the things of God. Blessed be God when the things of God become more important than the things of time. What a mercy it is when that is so. And so the apostle says, "For we that are in this tabernacle do groan, being burdened, not for that we would be unclothed, but clothed upon, that mortality might be swallowed up of life. Now he that hath wrought us for the selfsame thing is God, who also hath given unto us the earnest of the Spirit." It's the grace of God which has given us this, and it's something to rejoice in, isn't it? To rejoice that the great God has looked upon us, unworthy as we are. I'll just read a hymn we had a baptizing a couple of weeks ago, and this hymn was given out, and it's a very lovely hymn, and it's very appropriate to all of those who are taught by the Spirit, that all would all stand on level ground saying this. And what it says is this, hymn 191. "Oh, why did Jesus show to me the beauties of his face?" And it's because, my friends, the light shines in the face of Jesus Christ. "Why to my soul did he convey the blessings of his grace?" And you join hands with the hymn writer and say, "Well, I understand what he's saying. Oh, how could he so sweetly smile on such a wretch as I who his name did once revile and his dear truth deny." What a sad reflection. As you and I look back in our life, and you may say, "I don't think I've denied the Lord," but you may have done by your actions. You may have tried to turn the conversation when it got a bit spiritual. "But 'twas because he loved my soul." This is it. "Because he loved my soul. Because he died for me. Because that nothing could control his grace, his firm decree." Oh, my friends, to think back in eternity that love was upon us. "Lord, for thy manifested grace, I'll raise a cheerful song." Something to sing about, isn't it? Something to praise God for. "Till I shall see thy brighter face midst the celestial throng." Well, that's a good testimony of a true child of God. My friends, it would be good for you and me if we can join hands in the hymn writer and say, "Well, that's my prayer. That's my desire. That's how I feel." Because in that condition, what does it do? It brings honour and glory to God. It doesn't bring honour and glory to ourselves. And when you and I are touched by the love of Christ, we won't want any honour ourselves. We should desire that his name may be glorified. You understand what we read. "Let us exalt his name together." Union with the church of God to praise him for all that's done. "Let us exalt his name together." Well, what a mercy it is when that is so, that you and I truly can rejoice in his great salvation. What great salvation it is. And it's because of the love of Christ. What a mercy then tonight. See, this is a subject which will fill our hearts with praise, the love of Christ. And this is something which will never go out of date and never become old-fashioned and will never be something that you won't want to hear about. If there's no life, it will mean nothing to you. If you and I possess life, this will mean so much, the love of Christ. Because our eternal life rests upon the evidence that Christ has loved us. My friends, no evidence, then no life. Christ doesn't pass by his children. He doesn't ignore them. He draws them to himself. And I often think of the wonderful words in the Song of Solomon. And these are the words, "Draw me, we will run after thee." What a mercy for us today to be found drawn by the Saviour and then running after him. That means nothing else can hinder us. Running after him because it's such a glorious attraction. You know, the hymn writer says, "To know my Jesus crucified by far excels all things beside." And he was not exaggerating. He was telling the truth. And what a blessing when the Holy Spirit leads us to Calvary. Never be tired of coming to Calvary. Because at Calvary, we see the suffering Saviour. And we see the completion of that glorious work that the Saviour did and completed. He did all that his Father required. And he was able to say those wonderful words, wasn't it? "It is finished." He completed the work that his Father gave him to do. And I often think it's such a wonderful testimony that there, at that very instance, the veil of the temple was rent in twain from the top to the bottom. What did it signify? There was now entrance into the Holy of Holies through the merits of the Saviour. No more a natural high priest. No more natural blood. We now can enter in to the holiest of all through the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ by that new and living way. Why is it? Because of the love of Christ, which constrains us to come in prayer to our Father in heaven, to pour out our heart in thanksgiving for what he's done. We fail so often in thanksgiving. What a blessing when the Holy Spirit convinces us of the great debt that we owe. A debt which you and I will never be able to repay. But my friends, what a mercy when the Lord, by his grace and favour, enables us to love him in return. Love him. And of course, we can't love him as we should. We don't love him as we would. What a mercy, though, when there is some love. Some love. And we can rejoice in his love toward us. Well, this evening, the love of Christ. What do we say? What do we say? What can you say tonight? The love of Christ to you. What does it mean? What has it meant? What does it mean? Does it mean that because of his love towards you, joining with the Apostle Paul, you have a good hope of eternal life? And if by the Holy Spirit you've had a touch of this love, you have the evidence that you are indeed a new creature. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. You see things in a different light. And as we read in that fourth chapter, those beautiful words which I rejoice in so often. The sixth verse, "For God who commanded in our lives the light to shine out of darkness, hath shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ." Oh, when that light shone, we now view the Saviour as my Saviour, We never saw it before. Perhaps we listened to many sermons. It had never come to us. But bless God, when the Holy Spirit comes and touches our heart. And as the apostle went on, but we have this treasure. What a treasure it is. There's no greater treasure than to know the love of Christ. We have this treasure in earthen vessels, our bodies, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. Not in ourselves. It's all in God. And we desire then to honour and glorify his great and holy name for looking down and coming to us and pouring out into our hearts his love. Oh, my friends, rejoice in it if you know anything of it. And cry mightily to God if you don't. Jesus is the one thing needful. I without him perish must. Oh, the Spirit might indeed make us very heedful of the need of this wonderful favour. And if God has shown it to us, go home tonight. Praise God and thank him for his wonderful favour to such an unworthy sinner. For the love of Christ constraineth us. Amen.
Last Lord's Day were £725, and on Monday for the Trinitarian Bible Society £1,700, for both of which we are very thankful. God willing, Mr. Pack will preach on Tuesday evening. There'll be a prayer meeting for the members on Friday evening at 7 o'clock, and Mr. Burgess will preach next Lord's Day. Let us close with hymn 379. Come, my soul, thy suit prepare. Jesus loves to answer prayer. He himself has bid thee pray, therefore will not say thee nay. Hymn 379.
Pray.
Now may the grace of our Lord and Saviour, Jesus Christ, and the love of God our Father, and the fellowship and communion of the Eternal Spirit rest and abide with us each, now and for evermore. Amen.